Welcome back to the deep dive. Look, I usually start these by saying we've gathered a week's worth of news, but today,
Today is different.
it really is. If you've been online in the last 24 hours, you probably feel like you've lived through a decade of tech history since breakfast.
It does feel that way. We're looking at a very specific window of time here,
Well,
February 8, 2026.
all right.
And in the industry, analysts are already calling this the day of accelerated evolution.
Which sounds incredibly dramatic, by the way, like a summer blockbuster title. But looking at the stack of reports, I'm not sure it's an exaggeration. We're talking about a period where the internet's infrastructure broke and then fixed itself.
And where we found out our dreams can be exported as what, MP4 files?
Exactly. And where the concept of being offline basically just went extinct.
That's a lot to process, and that's why we're focusing on this one report from Take a Knight.
Excerpts from embedded writing.
Right. They've taken this just chaotic news cycle and broken it down into six key axes. So our mission today is to figure out if this is just a weird coincidence of press releases or
Or if we're actually seeing a pattern.
a very clear pattern.
And that pattern seems to be that the line between human and machine is getting really blurry really fast. So grab a coffee. You're going to need it to keep up. And let's start with the story that probably had half our listeners shouting at their TVs. The PlayStation outage.
The great blackout of 26.
Exactly. The PlayStation network goes dark for 48 hours. Complete silence. It finally comes back online at what, 4.0 AM GMT?
That's right.
Now, normally a server crash is just annoying. Someone tripped over a cable, maybe a hacker group, but this report says that wasn't it at all.
No, this was something entirely new, and honestly, it's a bit unsettling.
Unsettling how?
Sony's engineers are calling the root cause quantum interference in their new encryption protocols.
Okay, let's pause right there. Quantum interference sounds like something you'd say on a starship when the warp drive fails. What does that actually mean?
So think of it this way. Traditional encryption is like a very, very complicated lock.
Right, you need the right key.
Exactly. But Sony was trying to roll out a new security layer for the post-quantum era, basically. A lock that changes its shape constantly.
Okay.
The problem was the old infrastructure and this new shifting lock system, they tried to occupy the same digital space at the same time. The whole system just panicked and locked the
And
doors.
swallowed the key, so it locked everyone out, including Sony's own engineers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is where the story shifts from tech support nightmare to, well, a historical turning point.
Because humans didn't fix it.
They couldn't. The code was snarled in a way that would have taken human teams weeks to even begin to unravel.
So how are we all playing games today?
Enter AI Shield. This was an autonomous AI that Sony had deployed in the lower sort of dormant layers of the network. It wasn't supposed to have full control yet.
But when the crash happened, it woke up.
It woke up. And it used something called recursive machine learning to analyze the whole mess.
Recursive just means it learns from itself, right?
In simple terms, yes. It's like an immune system. Your white blood cells don't wait for you to tell them what to do. They see a threat, they adapt, and they fight it.
So AI Shield just looked at the broken code.
And it rewrote the damaged sectors and built a completely new security fence around it in hours.
That is efficient, I guess. But doesn't that freak you out a little? An AI just steps in and says, "Step aside, humans. I'll rewrite the DNA of the system."
That is the big question. We're moving into an era of black box infrastructure.
Do the engineers even know how it works anymore?
Maybe not entirely, but the report notes that since the AI took over, the error rate is zero. Zero.
Wow.
And here's the kicker latency. You know, your ping, it dropped by 10%.
Wait, so the crash actually made the network faster.
Yes, because the AI is handling traffic now. It's smart routing data in real time, predicting bottlenecks before they happen. It's just better at it than any human algorithm ever was.
So the takeaway is the robots are better at this than us, so just hand over the keys.
For infrastructure, it
Yeah.
seems that way. And Sony's even offering a service compensation package-free access to classic games remastered by AI as an apology.
But the real story is that we're not the guardians of the network anymore. We're just the users.
Precisely.
Well, as long as I can play my games without lag, I guess I'll accept our new robot overlords. But speaking of AI taking over, let's pivot.
to the creative side.
Because if AI Shield is protecting the games, this next story is about AI making them. And I'm talking about OpenAI's Oasis.
This is the one that has the entire film and game industry sweating right now.
Oh.
They're calling Oasis a world builder engine.
And they're positioning it against the Titan's Unity Unreal Engine. But from what I'm reading, it doesn't work like a game engine. You don't place trees or adjust lighting. You just talk to it.
Exactly. It's a generative model. You type in a prompt, say, a cyberpunk city in the rain, 1980s anime style, or you upload a photo.
And it spits out a picture.
No, that's the thing. It doesn't just make a picture. It generates a fully interactive 3D environment instantly.
But how? Traditional graphics are all math. Calculating how light bounces. How does Oasis do that instantly?
It uses something called live neural simulation. And this is the part that's hard to wrap your head around. It isn't calculating light rays.
So what's it doing?
It's effectively hallucinating the world, frame by frame, based on everything it knows about what a cyberpunk city should look like.
Well, hold on. So it's not rendering geometry. It's dreaming the video feed.
In a way, yes. But it's a consistent dream. You could walk forward, turn around, pick up an object. The physics work. The lighting works. And the fidelity is supposedly better than ray tracing.
That sounds amazing for me as a gamer. Computer, build me a zombie apocalypse in Paris, and boom, I'm playing it. But what happens to the thousands of people who build 3D models for a living?
That's the acceleration part of today's theme. The cost of creating AAA-level graphics, which was hundreds of millions of dollars, is now trending towards zero.
It's the democratization of creation, but also the devaluation of craft.
It's that eternal tension. The report touches on the copyright debate. You know, who owns the style if it's trained on billions of images? But honestly, the genie is out of the bottle.
People aren't debating the ethics. They're already sharing prompts.
Exactly. It's the end of static media. Why watch a movie when you can step inside and change the ending?
A wild thought.
Right.
We're moving from consuming content to inhabiting it, which brings us to the hardware. Because the software is getting hallucinogenic, but the hardware is getting biological.
You're talking about the Nintendo leak. The Prism.
Right. Leaked straight from Foxconn. The successor to the Switch coming in 2027, and this thing sounds like a beast.
It is surprisingly powerful. It's running a custom NVIDIA Blackwell X chip.
Blackwell is their AI architecture, right?
Yes. So this chip isn't just for pushing pixels. It's designed to run things like deep learning, upscaling natively.
Ray.
And the screen.
Micro LED.
The holy grail of display tech. The infinite blacks of OLED, but brighter, no burn-in. And it uses about 35% less battery.
Okay, so it looks pretty, but it's Nintendo. There's always a catch, a gimmick, and it's in the controllers.
The biometrics. This is the detail that jumped out at me. The new Joy-Cons have medical-grade sensors in the grips.
To measure what?
Heart rate and galvanic skin response. Basically, your stress levels.
See, this is where I get skeptical. Do I really want my console knowing I'm stressed? Is it going to tell me to take a deep breath?
It's much cooler and, creepier than that. Think about dynamic difficulty adjustment.
The game gets harder if you're winning.
Right, but now it's biological. If you're playing a horror game and the console sees your heart rate is steady, you're bored, it'll ramp up the jump scare.
And if I'm about to have a heart attack?
It might subtly reduce the number of enemies or brighten the lighting to keep you in that flow state instead of total panic. It's optimizing your biological reaction to the entertainment.
I don't know. It feels a bit manipulative. Like the game is babysitting my adrenaline.
It's a valid critique. But from an immersion standpoint, the machine isn't just an output device anymore. It's reading you. It's a feedback loop.
Well, if Nintendo's reading my hands, Meta apparently wants to cut out the middleman entirely.
Right.
Zuckerberg announced the Quest 5 Pro, and the headline is pretty aggressive. The death of the controller.
They're calling it the iPhone of VR moment. And the claim is bold. No handheld controllers, no wands, just you.
So how do I interact? Just wave my hands around like a mime.
You can, but the core tech is called Verbis.
Huh.
It's a neural interface built into the headset strap that sits against the back of your skull.
So it's actually reading my brain signals.
It reads motor cortex signals, your intention to move,
yeah,
and combines that with sensors reading the electrical activity in your facial muscles.
Wait, so if I want to pick up a virtual apple, I don't actually move my hand.
You just have to intend to move it.
Yeah.
The demo showed an engineer manipulating a complex 3D engine, part spinning it, exploding the view, just by focusing.
It's basically telekinesis.
Effectively, yes.
Okay, that sounds like magic, but I have to ask the practical question. Have you ever tried to focus on one thing for an hour straight? It's exhausting. Won't this just fry people's brains?
You hit the nail on the head. The report flags cognitive fatigue, as the biggest hurdle.
Yeah.
Your brain burns glucose when it focuses.
So it's actual work.
It's harder work than just moving your hand, but you don't have muscle memory to help. After 20 minutes of Call of Duty, Mind Control Edition, you're going to need a nap.
So what's their solution?
They say they're working on attention amplification algorithms to lower the mental load, but the implications, they go way beyond gaming.
A surgeon controlling a robotic scalpel with their mind?
Exactly. Eliminating the tiny tremors of the human hand. It changes medicine. It changes everything.
But it also means we are letting tech companies plug directly into our motor cortex. And if you thought that was
Good
invasive,
boy.
this next story is going to make you want to wear a tinfoil hat to bed. We have to talk about Neuralink.
And Dreamlink.
Elon Musk again. So they claim they've decoded the visual cortex during REM sleep.
Yes. And they proved it.
Yeah.
A volunteer slept in the lab, dreamed, woke up, and then watched a video file of their own dream on a tablet.
Nope. No, thank you. I barely want to remember my own dreams. The idea that there's an MP4 file of my subconscious on a server somewhere, that is terrifying.
It's a massive privacy nightmare.
Yeah.
Musk calls it a triumph for psychoanalysis.
Hmm.
But the report asks the obvious capitalist question: if a corporation can see your dreams, can they use them?
Oh, God. Targeted ads based on my nightmares? I see you're being chased by a clown. Here's a coupon for therapy.
Or more subtle: if you dream about a specific brand of soda, is that organic or was it inserted there? Lawmakers in London and Toronto are already scrambling to draft cognitive freedom laws.
We absolutely need that. Because there's another angle here, creativity. If I wake up with a great idea and Dreamlink recorded it, who owns the copyright? Me or Neuralink?
It's legally uncharted territory, and the technology is moving way faster than the law. They expect a commercial version by the end of 2026.
That is way too soon. I feel like we need a global timeout. But speaking of global, our final topic is about the one network that now covers every inch of the planet.
Starlink, the end of isolation.
SpaceX says the direct-to-cell project is complete. What does that mean for an average person?
It means the dead zone is extinct. The Gen 2 satellites can beam 5G signals directly to a standard smartphone. No dish, no special phone.
So if I'm in the middle of the Amazon jungle,
You have full bars.
the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Full bars. The report calls it the democracy of communication. It effectively makes Starlink a global telecom operator that ignores borders.
That has to be driving dictators crazy. You can't block the internet if it's coming from space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It erodes concepts like the Great Firewall. But think about the practical safety. A hiker breaks their leg in the middle of nowhere. Previously, they die.
Now they FaceTime a rescue helicopter.
Right. Or a remote farmer can finally use IoT sensors because they actually have connectivity. It's the infrastructure of what they call a Type I civilization.
A planetary network.
We're no longer a collection of disconnected cities. We're a single digital organism.
Okay, let's just take a breath. We've sprinted through AI that fixes itself, AI that hallucinates worlds, consoles that read your fear, headsets that read your mind, dream recorders, and a planetary internet.
When you stack it all up, what are we even looking at?
We're looking at integration. That's the core theme. For so long, technology was a tool, a hammer, a phone. You picked it up, you used it, you put it down.
And now.
Now it's becoming part of us. It's in the infrastructure, keeping lights on with AI Shield. It's wrapping the planet with Starlink. And it's literally reading our biological signals with Prism, with Verbis, with Neuralink.
We aren't just using the machine anymore. We are merging with it.
That is heavy and honestly a little scary. So what's the takeaway for you, the listener? Do we just accept the cyborg future?
The takeaway is awareness. In this age of speed, ignorance is dangerous. You can't just be a passive consumer. You have to understand how the console knows you're scared. You have to know who holds the keys to your dream data.
Your awareness is the only weapon you have.
It's the only way to maintain your agency.
So don't fear the tech, but definitely read the terms and conditions.
And maybe one final thought to leave you with. If we can record dreams, and just like Oasis can generate realities, eventually those two things are going to meet.
What do you mean?
I mean, if you can record a dream, you can eventually edit it or generate a better one. Imagine a world where you go to sleep. Instead of a random subconscious mess, you choose to live in a perfect AI-generated fantasy for 8 hours.
My sleeping life could become better than my waking life.
Exactly. And if that happens, will you ever want to wake up?
Okay, on that existential crisis, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you for diving deep with us. Keep your eyes open, stay curious, and maybe write your dreams down on paper for now, just to be safe.
Stay human, everyone.
See you next time.